And we're on.
All right.
Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 9, top 5 DC books. And let's see. Let's get started. Today's episode, I am Chris Mosby.
Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Who is going to be a somewhat regular member from here on out when he can make it. We decided, and he accepted, crazy as it may sound.
Sucker!
But anyway, let's see. Tonight, we're going to start a series of at least – we'll try to do 3. We might come up with something else after that. But series talking about our top 5 favorite collections slash graphic novels slash trades, something like that. We're starting out with DC Comics. And pretty much that's where I figured we'd go. Start with the 5th one and work our way up. Does that sound good?
I'm down with that. That's the order. I got them sitting on my desk here.
Okay.
Sounds good.
With my alternatives sitting off to the side.
Yeah.
Hey, that's one of the caveats. We're gonna try and come up with 15 unique collections here, mm-hmm. or original graphic novels from DC. So if someone says one of ours. T.S. Got to move. Got to find something else to replace it on your list.
Yep. Alrighty. Who wants to go first?
Murray.
Number 5.
Alrighty. I'm going to go with, let's see, John Byrne's Generations.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Oh, yeah. It's.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I think it must have come out as a miniseries first and then was collected, and that's
mm-hmm.
how I got it. Mm-hmm. It's called Superman Batman Generations. It's written and illustrated by John Byrne. And, yeah, it's kind of cool. It takes, it's kind of like those old world finest team-ups where they pair the two of them, but they pair them kind of in real time. So they meet like they would have in 1939 or... I think, and then they just kind of each issue has, is it 2 stories? I think.
It kind of goes back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, it jumps 10 years each story, so that eventually you end up where do you end up? 1939. You go up to 1999, and it's kind of neat. It's sort of a real time thing, so you see what happens to the characters over. Over time and follow their
get married, have kids.
Yes.
Was there a sequel? I don't recall.
Actually, they did. He did 3 of those.
Yeah, there was Generations 2, which I think I've got 2, and then
I actually got all 3 of those as they came out. I don't have. I don't think I have only but 1 in collection. That was actually. I'm not. I mean, I like John Byrne's work, and I liked him until I met him. And anybody, you know, that follows John Byrne knows what I'm talking about. But that's one of my favorite works of his, I think, of any of them, is those, because it's kind of – I like how it's almost got that 50s, Lois Lane – Mary Superman dream sequence kind of thing feel to it, and it was really good. The second one, I think it was I don't remember how many issues it was, but it kind of gave more of an overall DC universe than just focusing on them. And then the other one, the third series, even had the Legion in it, that started with the Legion and ended with the Legion and had all the history in between. It went by decades per issue. I think it was like 12 issues.
I never read this stuff. Did it? When I think of those kind of pacings on World's mm-hmm. Finest, I think of like the Superman Jr., Batman Jr. stories from World's Finest. Was it kind of like that?
Yeah
it's similar.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, it's similar. It's I think with the Superman and Batman and Sons, they kind of they stop it. Well, they don't stop it, but they just kind of take it as Superman and Batman, and then they have their kids, and that's where the story goes. This kind of takes it further and further, so that each generation gets another another set of Batman and Superman kind of weaving through the story. It's neat though. You're right. It's very much in the line of the world's finest sort of imaginary stories. And
send you guys a link there, or for Caleb.
Thank you. Yeah, I was checking to see if I was on Comixology, but
yeah, it might be. But
it's not. It's not.
I don't think they ever collected the third series.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it was as well received. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a 12-issue series, but yeah, there's several entries of it on here. It looks like, the third one you'd have to hunt down. There's some people on Amazon that are selling their copies, but it was never collected. But yeah, I actually highly recommend that. That's a good choice.
Yeah, it's a good one. It is a good one.
And I'll make sure to link all of these in the show notes as well.
Excellent.
We'll have a lot of tabs open. But it was really good. I enjoyed it. And they might have it on in stock trades as well.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
They depending on what it is, a little bit even cheaper than Amazon.
If they've got the checker stuff, I'm sure they've got that.
Yeah, exactly. but anyway, yeah. That's a good choice,
Mer. I haven't read it, but given that there are two sequels, and that's the imaginary story stuff, and Byrne doing Superman and Batman, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Who's next?
I'll go next. In the vein of one creator doing the whole book, I went with Green Arrow and the Longbow Hunters. Mike Grell writing and painting. I want to say painting because this was more of a painted book than just penciled. This is Green Arrow going back to his roots as a hunter. Basically, it was that post-crisis period when they were retelling all of the heroes' origins for DC. And they made Green Arrow not quite as likable, but certainly more fun to read. Took away the trick arrows, which I know pissed a lot of people off. But I am now on my third copy of this trade paperback. I have read the other copies to death. I mean, pages literally falling out of them.
Yeah. I think I have the issues and the trade. Of that. That is a good story. Very good story.
Great. The whole, you know, was she raped, was she not raped story with Dinah Lance, who, you know, Black Canary from the Birds of Prey book that we talked about the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. That came out of this. What else? God, again, it moved his setting out of the into more of a real world city of sort of a real world city called Seattle. Actually, never been there, but it always sounds fictional to me.
Yeah,
great book, a very adult. This was again when DC was doing some more adult takes on their heroes, not in the Vertigo vein, but just more mature. I mean, they aged him. I think he's supposed to be close to 50.
Yeah.
In this book, they talk about how he has a surrogate grandkid through his, you know, not quite son, Roy Harper. Talks about him wanting to have kids. So on and so forth. Talked about, you know, the whole drugs thing comes in, and that seems to be a theme with Green Arrow is drugs, but it's in there. I love this book. I top to bottom, a fun read, very, very mature.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the government, takes on the city, and it is available on Comixology at $3 per issue. So,
that's not bad.
Definitely something you can read digital.
Yeah, the paperback is...
Can anyone hear me out there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep.
Whoa, I can't hear you guys all of a sudden.
Oh.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anyhow. Anyway, yeah, looking on Amazon, it looks like it's not exactly in stock. There's people selling it, so yeah, that's I'm sure you can find it if you look for it. But yeah, if it's on Comicology, yeah, that's definitely a good one. Good one there.
Uh-huh. And super influential. Like it kind of pointed the direction for Green Arrow for the next.
Oh yeah.
Well, 10 years maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So recently, I would say until I mean.
Yeah, I would agree. There's probably stuff from that all the way up until the relaunch, I would imagine.
Yeah, what would this have been, 87, 88?
Good question.
87.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Definitely good stuff. All right, let's see. My turn would be Superman and the Legion of Superheroes.
Ooh.
This is a collection from Action Comics, which basically, after many relaunches, brought the quote-unquote original Legion back. This is from Action Comics, collects Action Comics 858 to 863. This is where the Earthman character that was recently in the Legion run right before it was relaunched. And but this, I've been a big fan of Johns' work. This is probably my favorite of his. It was great seeing the original Legion back, which they were Brett Metzler in the first trade of the Lightning Saga. He brought them back in the four then too. But like I'd said, they'd been rebooted and redone, and this was the first showing of the Legion that we all fell in love with, I think. And they tied in his childhood back to the Legion again, which had been written out and several times, which I don't know if you guys caught the news today. They're going to show up in Action Comics number 5 and 6. They just announced it.
In the Morrison writing? Oh, yes. Man. Okay.
Very cool.
And not only that, but for a 2-issue stint, Andy Kubert will be doing the art. And it also says, keep an eye out for Crypto. So one of the things I was concerned about was them writing out the Legion or not defining it, but they're apparently going to, have that well ensconced. Ensconced. Yeah, that's a good enough word. They're gonna have that in there in his past. So, but yeah, I just love this. It was a lot edgier than you're used to seeing, and I don't want to give anything away, but it's like it's kind of like that had that X-Men Days of Future Past kind of alternate future feel to it, and I just loved it. I really did.
I grew up on that Legion that was in that book, and not much I can say that's not positive about that story. Bringing it back, bringing those characters back to where they were popular, which is not to say the subsequent versions of Legion weren't popular, but this is the one that put them on the map, and it was smart of them to bring him back the way they did. Introduced a very, very interesting character to the Legion mythos that was recently killed off, but Earthman, as a hero, I mean.
Yeah. But, with Gary Frank's art, it also gave it that edge. It was, just made it one of my favorite Legion stories, I think. So, that's my number 5.
Good choice.
Agreed.
Okay. Caleb, your turn again. Number 4.
Oh, Murray's on it. Murray's first.
Oh, Murray, I'm sorry. My bad. I was looking at your icon and then said what I looked at. But anyway, go ahead.
That's okay.
All righty. I am going with the Shadow miniseries by Howard Chaykin from 1980-something.
I had recently found that one or two of those issues in a dollar bin.
Yeah, yeah. 87, that's when it's from.
Okay.
Yeah, I had never read any Shadow before this. Mm-hmm. And I can't even think why I picked it up other than it's 87, it's right after Crisis, so that's when I was picking up everything, I think. Anything that was new, I would grab. Anything with a number one on it, I would grab. Now, why did I grab this as a... Normally, I would never buy trades. I always bought the minis, so I can't... I'm wondering, I might have... I wonder if I started on the series that was being published just after this miniseries and then went and grabbed the... trade to kind of get caught up. Either way, it is a good little story. I was completely unfamiliar with the Shadow other than his big iconic look and his laugh, and that's about all I knew. And this book does a pretty good job of bringing you up to speed on the history of the character, and then they put him right smack dab in the 1980s. Now, traditionally, wow. I guess his stories are sort of historical, and they take place in the 30s and the 40s, and that's kind of his milieu or his home there. But bumping him up into the modern times worked out for me. I liked it. I thought it was great. It's mm-hmm.
Did he do the traditional Chaykin thing and mature the hell out of it, or was it just, you know, more along the lines that this is, it's just kind of hardcore in the vein of the old Shadow stories?
It's
yeah, you're talking Blood and Judgment was the name of the story?
Blood and Judgment, yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at the comic book DB for it.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little mature. Now, I don't think it's as out there as some of Howard Chaykin's stuff gets, but there's certainly some there's lots of blood. There's lots of judgment. And, of course, there's some sexy chicks.
Yeah.
Sexy chicks.
That's right. Well,
it's Howard Chaykin.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's neat because he takes the original stories and then he kind of updates them and pulls from their history to kind of keep the story moving forward, which is cool. I liked it. It set the stage really well for the ongoing series, which is also really good if you get a chance to dig it out. I don't know if that's in trades at all, but it's certainly not hard to find in back issue bins.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I looked on Amazon. I didn't see anything. And the comic book DB for the series after this one, it didn't have any trades of it. So,
now, was that the series that was drawn by Baker? Kyle Baker, yes.
Yeah, it started with Bill Sienkiewicz.
This miniseries led into that awesome quote-unquote ongoing series?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Guess what I gotta get, because it's one of my favorite – that's one of my favorite pre-Vertigo Vertigo series.
Yeah, it was a great one. That's a series that needs an ending.
Oh, they never finish it?
Nope.
They left you hanging.
Well, go ahead.
No, just go ahead.
I was just about to say that Dynamite has the rights to that now. Shadow.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They usually get a lot of that stuff, and I forget who's going to work on it. It might be Matt Wagner, which she does a good job with that stuff. So, yeah, but Dynamite has the rights for that now.
Good recommendation, Murray.
Yeah, that is.
It's one that I will look up now.
Excellent.
Let's see. Here we go.
All right. Well, my number four, probably a cheat because it's probably on a lot of top 10, top 20 collections, for definitely a top 5 for DC's, but probably a top 20 for overall comic book collections, is Kingdom Come.
Yep.
Kingdom Come, with written by Mark Waid and drawn by Alex Ross.
Oh yeah, great stuff.
Awesome stuff. This is what, you know, still in the vein of the when Elseworlds were still being done. Mm-hmm. It's taking all the traditional DC characters and looking at their legacy. At, you know, I think it's what, like 20 years from now is the sort of the time period is set in.
Yeah.
Kansas has been destroyed. Most of the main heroes have retired or been killed and replaced by a lot of really nasty versions of themselves.
Yeah.
And this is the story about the heroes going, no, we need to reclaim the word hero as a good word as opposed to something that people don't want to be associated with. And if nothing else, Mark Waid tells an awesome story, but the Alex Ross paintings in this book, for that alone, it's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I must have read this about 100 times at least. You know, and it's funny, I have a story about that. I went to the Chicago Comic Con in 1996, which was the year before Wizard bought it, and they had a Kingdom Come panel, and I hadn't bought the first two issues of it yet. And my friend that went with me, when I was hanging out, you know, collecting comics at the time, and we went. It was Mark Waid and Alex Ross, and they had all the covers up there, and the only first two issues had come out at the time. And they went through and told who all the characters were, which now it's, you know, they have that in the, you know, the trade and the other, they have who's who on all the of the covers in the back. But this is definitely one of my, and it got me excited about comics again. It's definitely one of my favorite stories. In fact, it was on. I was going to put this in, but I knew once somebody was going to pick it, so it's on my backup list. So
I'd forgotten all about it. I didn't even think to grab it because I know I have it in issues, but I don't have it in trade, so it wasn't.
Yeah, I have the
out on the shelf, out of sight of mind.
I have the trade and the first hardcover they put out. I don't have it in absolute though.
But, well, I just love that they brought some of these characters into the current DC
universe. Yeah, they are. Red Robin being the most prominent one.
Red Robin, definitely. And they did. Red Robin first appeared here, absolutely. And along with the black version of Mr. Terrific, along with.
That's right.
You know, who else? Who else? I'm looking at this. Lightning from JSA.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
What's his name? Thunder, the guy who took over the Thunderbolt. I can't remember his first name, but
that
anyhow,
kid, yeah.
Awesome stuff. I would read this again and again.
For a long time, I would. That's one of the reasons why I got the trade was to so that I could have people read it, and even people that say they don't like comics, they read that, they definitely like it.
Yep.
So
that's my number four. Probably would be higher on the list, but there's other stuff that beats it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this would have been my top one for a long time. I would have to say, but yeah, this is what made Mark Waid my favorite writer, too, for sure.
Oh, he's kicking some butt lately, so.
Yeah, he is, actually. But anyway, good choice. Very good choice. All right. Now it's my turn. And the first Batman one on the list is the collection from the Batman Nightfall series. It's the part 3, Night's End. This is after Batman's back was broken by Bane, he's been healed, which I never read why all that was. I didn't really care. But John Paul Valley had pretty much gone sane. And was even I think he'd been begun killing at this point. And Bruce Wayne decides to take the mantle back, but he's healed, but he's lost his fighting skill. So this is why I love this book, and I actually have two trades of it. I bought it by accident, but I have two trades of it. Let's see, who did write this? It was there's several different writers. It was over several different issues, and I was actually buying this when it was coming out. But basically what he does is he gets Shiva, Lady Shiva, to train, and she takes the opportunity to try to get Bruce Wayne to kill, which she doesn't know he's Bruce Wayne, but she knew he was Batman. But so what she does is she goes out and kills this great sensei dressed up in this outfit of a bat mask of the god Tengu. And then she gives the mask to Bruce Wayne and tells him to wait. And then the acolytes of the great master track down Bruce Wayne, and he has to fight them. And each one of them is better than the next one. And then it goes back and forth between showing John Paul Valley in armored Batman mode and then Bruce Wayne fighting these guys. And it's just an awesome, awesome story. And he slowly gets his martial skills back. And it keeps showing him it's different phases. He's up on this ledge on this skyscraper, and he's like, throw the bat, the batarang, you know, the line out, and was going to swing from the rooftops, but no, he's not quite. And it just keeps showing, and each assassin gets more and more, you know, violent. And finally, by the time it's all over, he reclaims the mantle and goes, fights John Paul Valley and gets the mantle back. And there's an appearance with Dick Grayson's Nightwing, and at the time, Tim Drake. It was Robin, and it's just I've probably read this one too about a good 200 times, I'd say. I've worn out one of the trades, but it is one of my favorites.
I remember those issues as they came out. They had all those Kelly Jones covers, right?
Some of them did. Yeah, that's right. Was right after after his back was broke.
Right.
God, do we really have to limit this to only five? All of a sudden, I'm like, you mentioned, I was like, oh crap. I'm thinking like, oh, there's a whole other list of ones I didn't even think of.
And that's still in print too. This particular, which I try to go to it and it says it's not there, but yeah, yeah, it's still in print, so that tells you this is like, God, how long ago was this? So yeah, I have the first and second. No, this is the second printing. 1995. A lot of these issues, 94, 95. So yeah, it is impressive.
Who are some of the interior artists on that, just out of curiosity?
Let's see. We have – well, it was several different series. Batman, Batman Shadow of the Bat, Detective Comics, Batman Legends of the Dark Knight, and there's even a Catwoman issue. But you got let's see. Pencilers, Graham Nolan, Brett Blevins, Mike Manley, Tom Grummett, Ron Wagner, Jim Baylett, and even Barry Kitson.
Kitson did some material. Wow.
Yeah. He did Legends of the Dark Knight. He actually did the final confrontation between him and Valley in Wayne Manor.
He did some interiors for when Azrael got his own book, though, didn't he, too?
I think he did, okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
But writers included Chuck Dixon, Alan Grant, Joe Duffy, Dub Monek, and Dennis O'Neill.
Huh.
So
the classic back. Classic Batman writers, too.
Yeah, awesome. It's definitely one of my favorite Batman stories of all time, I would say. And
now, it's part of that bigger story. Why part three as opposed to part one or part two?
Well, because of the whole sequence of Bruce Wayne dressed in that other outfit. In fact, they even put out an action figure of it. I have it up on the wall. They put out a Night's End series like the and I've got two. I got the Nightwing one and the Tengu in the Tengu outfit, and it's just a black, kind of like a ninja outfit with with the Tengu mask. And I just that whole thing of him coming back and his thought processes of the battles and all that. It's just great. It's great stuff.
Alrighty. Well, for my third pick, I'm going to go with the Batman book 2.
All right.
I know. I'm going with Batman: The Long Halloween.
Oh, that's a good one.
I almost grabbed that.
Yes. Now, I know, you know, I'm not a big Batman guy, but this one is a good, good read. I like it. It's a good little mystery. I like how you can kind of play along and try to guess who the killer is. And it's got a neat little, the neat little hook is that each month has a different, or a victim is killed based on one of the holidays of that month. So mm-hmm. Batman is trying to figure out who the holiday killer is. And a lot of the Bat characters get wrapped up in here. You get to see the Catwoman and Two-Face and Joker and mm-hmm. Poison Ivy. You get all the classics in there, and you get Batman when he's not being grumpy, and you get Robin, and you get – you don't get Robin. Do you? I don't think so. Maybe he's the next book.
I'm scrolling through it.
He might be the next one. Either way, it's like a good romp through Batmanville. And it's by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, and I am a sucker for Tim Sale artwork.
That's good.
These two together put out some of the best retro feel noir stuff that Marvel or DC do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have to agree with you. They even made an absolute edition of that.
Yeah.
Did they? Oh, biggie.
Yeah, they did.
I picked this up in trade. I never got the original issues, but it was probably one of those first things that I trade waited on.
I never read it until after myself.
It's tremendous. I'm looking at it. This is something I haven't reread in a while. So mm-hmm. thank you for the heads up on that. Yeah. Batman: The Long Halloween. Mm-hmm. Hey, good choice.
Yep, that's a good one for sure.
All right. Well, just so you guys, unless someone grabs one of my other two books, I have no Batman on mine. So that's moving fine. On.
Well, you're not as big as Batman fan, so, you know, right?
No, but I've got Batman up there. I've got Dark Knight up there. I've got Death in the Family. It's all up there. Yeah. And also, of course,
the classics
on Halloween. Yes, definitely. Well, my next one is a cosmic book. As a matter of fact, it's called Cosmic Odyssey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Jim Starlin writing what he writes best, the cosmic stuff.
Caleb, you're getting scratchy.
You gotta shave.
Okay.
My back?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's try that again. Jim Starlin writing what he writes best, the cosmic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Nola drawing cosmic stuff. Who'd have thunk? But this has got the New Gods in it, and for my money, nobody actually draws New Gods better than Mike Mignola. I know some people would say obviously Kirby or Byrne or Simonson, but I love the Mignola stuff on here. The kind of scratchy, not perfect art, but I love it. The whole story is Darkseid and Highfather need mm-hmm. to collect a bunch of heroes together and from Earth to go out and basically collect pieces of the anti-life equation, save the universe. Obviously, Darkseid's got his own little agenda there. Teaming up all these heroes. It's got Batman, obviously, is in there, but it's also got Martian Manhunter, Starfire, Superman.
That's right.
Green Lantern, John Smith, Bug. Demon. I forgot Demon was in it, and I'm looking at the cover. It's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. That is a great mix of characters.
And unfortunately, it created kind of the defining moment for that Green Lantern, you know, one that they keep revisiting over and over again where he fails miserably. billions of people die because of him.
Oh, was that in that?
Yeah.
It was.
You're talking about Stewart, aren't you?
Yeah, John Stewart. I said Smith a moment ago, but yeah, John Stewart. I mean, just the biggest failure of his career, and probably, you know, up there with a lot of other heroes' biggest failures. Mm-hmm. But you know, they've moved past it a little bit, made him stronger because of it. But again, the series itself, a lot of fun. Four issues.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, again, a little mature, but still a lot of fun.
And you know, a lot of that stuff, I didn't know it, and because I'd read when that Death of the New Gods series came out a couple years ago, Dick Starlin did, a lot of the stuff that he did in this, he revisited in that Death of the New Gods series, and I ended up reading that after, and it just, like, it was all meshed.
So, really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a, it's almost like a sequel.
Huh.
Well, he does some great
absolutely.
New Gods stuff, and the cosmic stuff. I mean, you can pick up any of his current cosmic books that he does, or even stuff he's done in the last couple of years, and
which
his head and shoulders above or holds its own against anything else cosmic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
I think you mentioned, you and I talked about one, Breed.
Yes. Oh. As a matter of fact, he's working on, he's putting out Breed 3. I have issue 5 of Breed 3 that just came out. I haven't read it yet, but it is one of my favorite. If I'm not mistaken, it's the very first independent comic I ever read. I think Dreadstar was already done by that point. I had read some of his stuff in Dreadstar and picked up back issues of it, and when I saw this, I got it as it came out. And the second series had never been collected until he started doing this for Image. Breed 3, and it is just great stuff. It really is.
Well, to tie it into Batman, Jim Starlin is the one who wrote Death in the Family.
So yeah, he did.
There's my Batman tie.
It's funny. I've been picking up back issues at Popo's, my local shop, and so they had bought a whole collection of Batman, and I've just been buying a couple of things. But around in there, around the before the 400s, he wrote a lot of Batman. As a matter of fact. I didn't realize that. A lot of stuff.
Did that cool one, The Cult. The one with Bernie Wrightson on the art. Wow.
Yeah, I think he did, didn't he? Yeah, I think I've got that somewhere.
Wow. So but, that's my number three. That's my number three. Eventually I'll get away from superheroes here, but it's tough when you're talking DC Comics. But this is great stuff. And it's very, very surprisingly new user friendly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is a good series. That is for sure. All right. Now it's my turn. And speaking of Batman, Batman Year One.
Ooh.
By Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli, I think that's how you say it. But probably the quintessential Batman story, I would think. A lot of the stuff that is in it. Now it's still, well, it may not be prevalent today with the new 52, but I mean, it's still, when this was done in the 80s, this was after, wasn't it before or after Dark Knight Returns?
This one, your one was after.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But, I've read the crap out of this trade. I think it's like the, I don't know, 10th, 11th printing of it, but I just love this book. I reread it every year, and one of the reasons that if anybody's seen Batman Begins, speaking of new readers, you'll see several things that they used in that movie directly, almost verbatim from this book. And that's one of the reasons why it was so good. I don't care what anybody says. But Frank Miller, he's great. One of the greats, and he did a great job on this. It's just awesome. It's one of my favorite Batman stories of all time, I'd say.
And I think next week or maybe the week after, the cartoon version of this book comes out.
That's right. I have that pre-ordered, as a matter of fact.
So, and I don't know how faithful it is, but it is Bruce Timm producing, so I'm sure it's got at least a lot of stuff that from the comic in there.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's really good. Oh, and kind of speaking about Catwoman. We talked about that when we talked about Catwoman. This was when they first showed Selina Kyle as being a prostitute, as her, you know, what she did before she became Catwoman. And it was, I'm sure it was controversial at the time.
Yeah, I know. I didn't like it.
Yeah. But, and that, I mean, they brought that back, you know, in a different way.
I honestly, that scene, and they use it again, like you said, in the Batman Begins movie, mm-hmm. that scene when he's trying to escape from that building and with all the cops surrounding it
yeah.
and coming in, and he, you know, 5 steps ahead, he drops that homing beacon in for the bats to come in.
That's right.
And attack the building. And
when I saw that scene in the trailer, I knew the movie was going to be good because they were taking stuff from the comics. Instead of, making shit up like they did and, So.
And I think maybe, did we cover this last week? Or maybe we covered it on Facebook conversation, the thing about Barbara Gordon. This is the one that's totally screwed up the Barbara Gordon relationship. But,
That's right. It did, didn't it?
One of those offhand comments that just bled into the next 20 years worth of Batman stories in a way. Awesome stuff, though. Good choice.
Yeah, I love that book.
Another one to pull off the shelf and reread again.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, mine is worn to hell. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. I've been meaning it because they put out a deluxe one around when – I think it was when Batman Begins came out. I'm not sure what it was. It was like an anniversary or whatever, but I never bought it. I'd probably need to do that. Anyway, all right, that's for our number three. Number two, Murray.
Number two. Alrighty. I am going with The Plain Janes, which is sort of a DC book. It was put out by their Minx line when they had that for...
Okay.
I think it lasted for maybe a year before it folded, but I picked up all of their little girly novels, and I loved them all, except, there was one I didn't love, but the rest were all great. So Plain Janes was the book that kicked off their girls' line of graphic novels. And
That's right. I remember when that came out.
Yeah. It was a big deal, and it lasted for, how many books have I got up there? 10, maybe?
Wow.
I got about 10 of them out. And, I liked it. I like this the whole line as a whole, but this book in particular I like. It's a neat little book. It follows the four characters named Jane. Each of them have a different sort of personality trait. So you've got dramatic artsy one and the sporty one and the brain, and then the new Jane who comes to town, who is all into literature and art. And it's neat. It's a neat book. It's one that I'll have my grade eights read every once in a while, and they'll it's neat the way it kind of combines art and civil disobedience and it's a neat book. The girls kind of form a little club, the Plain Janes, and the plain stands for people loving art in neighborhoods. So they take art out of the classroom, out of the museums, and they start making art around the community, which is it's kind of a neat idea. And then you get the community reaction to all this art in the town, and it doesn't always go so well for them. But it was a good little book. It's written by Cecile Castellucci and illustrated by Jim Rugg. And I know you can get it through bookstores and stuff. I know it's still orderable.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at the page on Amazon for it. They have it even.
It's interesting. They recommend for people who like this, they've got a couple of Judy Blume books up there. It's a couple of the more mature Judy Blume books, the ones where the kids are early teens. Is that the age?
I think that's the age they were targeting for this group. Yeah, sort of the teen girl crowd.
Yeah, it says grade 8 to 10 from School Library Journal. So yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Or the creepy old man.
Yeah. Well,
So what was the appeal? So you say that. I mean, all joking aside, though, I mean, they aim this at these early teen girls, but something about it grabbed you. And obviously, you're not a pedophile. So, what was it about it that appealed to you?
I liked the idea of it. I liked the idea of the line reaching out to to get a different audience there. But I also liked, like, the stories themselves. I'm always, I love the, you know, the cheesy, soapy, teeny bopper stories. I mean, those always pull me right in. And that's, I'm, and that's what all, most of these books were, teeny boppery, sort of soapy things. Not all of them. I mean, some of them were, some of them would take that, that genre and then twist it in ways that you weren't expecting. And, it, the books were neat in that you got to see different, like, artists that you wouldn't normally see doing a DC book, doing DC stuff. The books to me kind of, they felt very much like, the books that Oni Press used to put out. And they were, they're kind of the same sort of size, like paperback-ish, and they're black and white and gray tones and, yeah, lots of good character study stuff. I love reading about good characters, and this, to me, if the characters are great, the story can be a little sloppy, and I'll forgive it because the characters, I get right into the story. So for me, that is what I enjoyed.
So it was around the same time as Marvel was doing that, like Mary Jane book and the White and the Emma Frost book.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah,
Mary Jane so. Loves Spider-Man or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dang, Murray, I've had none of your books on my on.
Oh yeah, you caught me with that one. That's for sure.
There you go. Well, I will catch you with the next one too.
All right,
Caleb.
All right. Well, my next one, because I couldn't single out one Sandman trade paperback collection to pick. I decided to go with Death: The High Cost of Living. Written by Neil Gaiman, who did the Sandman books, drawn by Chris Backlow, who drew one of the Sandman arcs, and Mark Buckingham doing the inks on it. Dave McKeon, of course, doing the covers, who did all the covers for the Sandman books. And this follows Sandman, Morpheus's sister, older sister, Death, as she spends her one day a year as immortal, as a one day every 100 years as immortal. And just her day in New York City, hanging out, meeting people. And it's just a great character study. There's no superhero stuff, despite the fact that the main character is Death personified. She's the cute little goth girl that Neil Gaiman made her out to be. She is insightful, but just a little scamp. I mean, again, I would probably give this to the same people who probably read the Plain Jane's book or like the Plain Jane's book, the Minx book.
Yeah, well, for sure.
It's fun. Again, I wish I can't, again, narrow down one of the Sandman books, so I had to pick one something associated with Sandman. I have no regrets about this being – I don't even think of it as a second choice. It's just – it's awesome stuff. And the Chris Backlow art. This is not his wonky stuff that some people might – it's some people who know who Chris Backlow is might think, because he does some pretty funky art. He did some steampunk stuff that was really weird. This is just straightforward, no frills, comic book storytelling. Loved it.
Wow. Yeah, it is a good choice for sure. I remember grabbing that one as it came out too.
Yeah.
The individual issues, yeah.
Yeah, I remember those. Now, was that – I'm trying to think. Was that done in like a special glossy format, or was it just regular?
Well, I'm going to go with regular because it's only – I mean, this book is only it's about – it's less than 100 pages, each issue is only about – each chapter is only about 24 pages long. So I would guess no, that it was probably just the same – yeah.
I remember. Huh.
Right about that time, though, when they were doing a lot of that glossy, those glossy miniseries. Yeah.
Interesting.
But no.
I've never read any of the Sandman stuff, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it. A friend of mine back from Missouri used to love the stuff. I just never did get into it, but I'll eventually check it out, I'm sure.
Added to the growing list.
Yeah. It's a rich series for sure.
Yeah. I think they put those out in absolutes and deluxe editions, didn't they?
and probably absolute deluxe editions.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that they have like several absolute editions of that, but I'd have to read a couple. I only have two absolutes, and my number one is on it, and Crisis is the other. So
I only have one, and Crisis. No, I don't have any. I do have any absolute. I have one absolute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and Sandman was probably the big crossover series. I mean, it's, you know, when you talk to, like, some of those, you know, people who came in from the outside, the civilian, so to speak, Sandman was the book that brought them in. I mean, yeah. It was, you know, I mean, they had freaking Tori Amos did the intro to this Death, High Cost of Living trade paperback.
That's true, so. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
So, in any case, that's my number four, that's my number two.
Ready.
Well, okay, my turn. Number two with me would be the Legion of Superheroes, The Great Darkness Saga.
Yeah.
And this latest edition that they just put out recently has a lot of extra story, because I have the original trade that had the big poster in it, and the second one they put out, which that one I've read so much that it's fallen apart. And this one here with the extra wide pages, it's a classic story. It still holds up today, and it's got the Legion that I mentioned in the Superman and the Legion story. Anybody that's a fan of Lord of the Rings, Paul Levitz took a heavy inspiration from that, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, I know he has. He's mentioned that on the Legion podcast. This collection has the famous Computo Annual in it as well. The deluxe edition, anyway. But, it's just a great book. And, in fact, the very last issue is the one that I picked up that got me hooked on Legion for good. And it's just a great book.
I would argue that this five issues, the ones that they're the Great Darkness Saga proper, as opposed to the ones leading up to it, are the reason that the New Gods came back into popularity.
No one knew.
Never heard of Darkseid until, I mean, if I'd read them as they came out, I never would have figured it out, because I had never heard of the character until this.
I had kind of, but only, again, it was through Justice League.
Exactly, yeah, because and that was a couple years before, though, right, that they had the Justice League and the New Gods kind of show up a little bit. But again, you're right, it was just a tiny little blip.
That was my only exposure, and then there was this, and I would say that based on that, everyone said, hey, Darkseid, he could be a badass across the board villain for Justice League or just the DC Universe in general.
and he did,
and apparently they think so again. So as we will find out, I'm sure, in the upcoming issues of Justice League. But I was gonna cheat, Chris, and I was gonna say, you remember I had said we can't repeat. Gonna say, well, he did the hardcover, so I'm gonna talk about the paperback.
Was that your number one?
That was my number one, and I was going to argue that it's different because it has the poster in it. But I'm not going to cheat. I've got another number one, possibly.
Okay.
But
all right.
I'm on my third. I had to go out and hunt up a new copy of the original trade paperback because of the poster, because I had thrashed the hell out of my previous reader copy. It was still readable, but again, like my green, like my Longbow Hunters, pages falling out. Got to have that poster though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually had the actual printed poster somewhere.
Mine's gone. Long gone.
I never had it. But I know it was at the shop that I used to shop at when I was a teenager. I know they had it. I remember seeing it on the wall.
Those are good times.
Yes, those were great. I can remember picking up each one of those issues in that five-issue arc. I can remember which store I picked them up in. I can remember. Yeah.
My Legion collecting history was very sporadic because I was, you know, I picked them up. But this was the first one, because you see that cover with Superboy and the rest of them, you know, worshiping him. And that was the one, and I read it, and I hadn't read any of the other issues at the time. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is just, you know. And I've been a Legion fan ever since.
How user – and again, new user friendly. Surprisingly, people say,
yeah.
Oh, Legion, you can't get into Legion. There's too much history. Well, baloney. This, yeah, this,
if you read this, I would imagine you would pick it up pretty – I mean, it would – it. By the time you're done, you know who they are, what they're about,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great choice. And again, you ate my number one, but I've now pulled down a new number one.
All right, then. Great. Love that book.
It is good. I know I'm going to have to pick up like the trade of it at some point because my issues are battered and beaten. And
I recommend the hardcover, but you know.
I do too. Despite it not having the poster, it does have those issues that lead up to it that have never been reprinted
mm-hmm.
In color anywhere.
Yeah.
Yet, I mean, I think they're coming in soon in the archives, but
yeah, I think maybe in 13, I think maybe some of those,
but I'm never in color before, and it plus it's got that annual number one, the
mm-hmm.
the one that you know yeah. you read on the Legion board. I mean, it was agreed upon across the board that was a great introduction issue to Legion.
Yeah, and.
That's the first time I guessed on the Legion podcast. That was the issue it was on that we got to read, and then their site went down after that. So,
OSB.
Yep, that's what started it all. And I'd forgotten it. Actually, has got a couple of the issues after too. After that, the one with the green lanterns and.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, if you're looking for Prime Legion books, that gives you like everything you need for
and it's a little bit bigger than normal comic size, so that it really brings the art out.
I love in the back where they do the working relationship, or Levitz talks about the working relationship with Giffen.
Yeah.
He starts talking about the last part of the story. He's like, it was so much, so compact, and so much information that he basically did it Marvel style, where he did a really brief outline, and then Giffen drew it, and then they filled in the blanks afterwards, which was
mm-hmm.
Neat to read about.
Yeah, that's good stuff. No, that's fun.
All right.
Those typed pages and all that stuff, that is great.
Mm-hmm. Get thee to Amazon.com, Murray, and get yourself a copy, or anyone listening to this.
I'm going to have to, totally.
I have the link right here in case you need it.
Excellent.
All right. Now, by the way, our site and our podcast are going to go down. Thanks. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do have an affiliate link, so you know.
Okay.
Be warned, the links may benefit small way in keeping the site running. So. If you decide to buy some from there. But anyway.
There you go.
All right. Number one.
All righty. My number one is one that I was surprised to pick, but I'm going with it because I've read it a couple of times. I've read it with the kid a couple of times, and it is just a good, fun read. So I'm going with one of the archive editions, Black Canary Archives, Volume 1.
Oh, wow.
Goodness.
Yeah, it is fun. It's got all of her silver or golden age, I guess, from the 40s. All of her appearances throughout the 40s, right up until until they were no more, and then it gives you team ups. One of the Brave and the Bold team ups that she did with Starman, and it gives you. A little two-parter with some art by Alex Toth. It is just – it's a fun book. Most of the stories, like the bulk of the stories, are all by Robert Kaniger and pencils by Carmen Infantino. And
wow.
It's so cool. Like, and the art is – it's very distinctive. Like each – the series really has a distinctive look, but it's not the look that he – would go on to use in Flash and Adam Strange and some of those books in the 60s. It's it's a little, yeah, it's hard. I can't really even explain how it's different, but it's very much influenced by the 40s. It's really, really cool. It's got sort of a moonlighting vibe with Black Canary and her little partner there, Larry Lance. They've got sort of a fun little relationship with back and forth stuff. And
wow.
And yeah, it's really cool. It starts off with some of the Black Canary stories where she teams up with Johnny Thunder, and eventually she would become popular enough that she kind of kicked Johnny Thunder out of his book, and she took over the features, and it's there. Yeah, I got it. I think they're a lot of fun, and my daughter enjoyed reading them too. But I got to say, you can't read them all in one sitting because they tend to be a little repetitive. But if you read them like one or two a night and spread them out over a week or two, they're a lot of fun. They're just, you know, like they're those golden age stories where every issue, like by the third story, my daughter was like, okay, so how is Black Canary getting conked on the head in this book? And and how That's is she fun. Getting out of it? And yeah, it's they're fun. They are a fun read. And it's just, yeah, at this point, Dinah or Black Canary didn't have any sort of special powers. She was just a costume crime fighter who was really good at judo or jujitsu, and had her own little motorcycle, and had her little private detective boyfriend that she would jibber jabber with. And yeah, it was a lot. They're fun. They're just, it's a fun book if you're into Black Canary at all. And then it finishes off. Yeah, it finishes off with a story by Denny O'Neill and Alex Toth, and the art is just beautiful. Wow. Yeah.
Does she get to be the hero, or is she like the damsel in distress
No, in these books she is, in all the 40s stories, she is definitely the hero. She often has to rescue Larry Lance from whatever the problem happens to be.
So it was like the Wonder Woman stuff where, you know, they could have easily have made Steve Trevor, oh, he rescues Wonder Woman. No, she actually is the hero.
Yeah, she's the one doing the rescuing. Now, I don't know, Steve Trevor always struck me as a bit of a wuss or a whiner, but Larry Lance, he can hold his own. he may be bonked on the head or tied up, but he can certainly hold his own with that.
Yeah, and I'm noticing here, looking on in-stock trades, they got 50% off on all those DC Archive editions.
And excellent.
They have it, actually have it in stock.
There you go. Buy it.
That cover's awesome. I'm looking at it on where she's busting out of the cover itself.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and that's sort of the style of the art throughout the whole book there. That's yeah, that's very indicative of what you'll see. Anyway, it's a fun read.
Huh.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah, those archive editions of the older stuff are a good thing to read with the kids because they are definitely safe, I guess would be the word.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Definitely never would think that, but that's a good choice.
All right, I'm going with, for my number one choice as my alternate, but it was waiting there just in case, Camelot 3000.
Oh.
Mike Barr writing, Brian freaking Boland drawing it.
That's good.
This was probably my first real exposure to the Camelot myths, believe it or not. I think I had seen Excalibur, but didn't get it. I was a kid and just kind of was a little too intense for me, maybe. I don't know. But this takes the whole story of Arthur and the Knights of Camelot, moves it from the traditional Arthurian period up to the year 3000, into the 3000s. The Earth is being taken over by some really nasty aliens, and that's the time that Arthur needs to come back and save everyone's ass. And he does, along with, you've got Merlin in there, you've got all the resurrected knights. As a matter of fact, you got one of the knights resurrected as a woman, which is totally awesome. Another one resurrected as kind of a monster guy. I mean, there's Asians, there's black guys, it's French guys, even, for God's sake. It's just a really great read. Beautiful art. Again, Brian Boland did some, up to that point, I think all I can remember him doing was some Green Lantern stuff, which, no, not a knock on Green Lantern, but this was just fun reading. It was one of the early books that DC did in some of the heavier paper stock. It was also one of their earlier ventures outside of the superhero. Maybe that's not quite right. Probably yeah. In the 80s, when they were really starting to explore going outside the superhero stuff.
Yeah, they did a lot of sci-fi series like Sun Devils, right, and other things like that.
It was more mature. I mean, you get to see ladies' butts in this one. What else? Killing. And it takes some left and right hand turns from traditional story, but ultimately ends up being a pretty faithful to the whole Arthurian story, just retelling it in a different time period.
Yeah, it's funny you should bring that up. I was moving stuff around and I came across that series, and I was lucky enough to find that at a comic shop, the whole entire series, and I'd never read it before. It was like in a dollar bins, and that's some good stuff.
It really is. For people who like King Arthur stuff, don't knock it. It's a comic book. So what? Mm-hmm. It's a good faithful. In the meantime, I've read some other Arthur books. The Once and Future King, T.H. White, a huge influence on this book, apparently. If you read Mike Barr's intro to it, he really tried to stay faithful. And I another book that's been just read to the point where the pages are yellow. I've never rebought this one. Probably should at some point now that I'm looking at my copy. But
Apparently in what year it was, they put out a deluxe edition of this.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, in 2008, as a matter of fact.
So yeah, this is from 88 initially. Mm-hmm. So this was also one of those ones where people used to make jokes because it took forever for the last issue to come out. This is one of the well before it was okay for creators to put out books late. But people, again, just like some of the other awesome stuff that's come out late recently, mm-hmm, people forgave it and kept buying it. So
yeah.
Anyhow, that's my number one.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, here's my number one. And this is the very first Absolute I ever bought, and it's DC The New Frontier.
Oh, that was going to be on my list.
By Darwin Cook.
I couldn't put it on my mind. I had it in two editions, so.
Well, yeah, that I've got the two, Volume 1 and 2, but I do have the Absolute.
That's the version I want.
Oh, yeah, and I found it at a comic shop up in Memphis, and it was – they marked it down.
Oh.
Way down. I think I got it for $60 or less, $50 maybe. This was – when this series came out, because I bought the actual issues too.
Yep.
And I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I'll be honest. I mean, I really wasn't – I didn't quite get it. You know, it's like, okay, this is going on. Okay, where in continuity does this fit was the thing. And I didn't really enjoy it just how great it was until I got it in trade and read the introduction and what the whole point of the story was. Mixing all these different genres of books that were out around in the 50s all into one, the romance, the science fiction, the horror, the mystery stuff and the horror all into one thing. And it's just a great book. And, fall in love with Darwin Cook's, his art. And they made the animated movie of it. They kind of cut it up a little bit, pared it down to 70 minutes, but it's still good. It's really good stuff. I highly recommend it.
Probably one of my favorite Hal Jordan stories, actually.
I would agree with that.
I'm not a Hal Jordan fan, but he probably – I would say he's the focal character of this book.
Yeah, definitely.
And that whole stuff with him in Vietnam – not Vietnam, in Korea,
mm-hmm,
was tremendous.
Yep.
Good choice, man. Yeah, the cartoon. I think wasn't that when they the first one that DC have these more recent stuff that's been adapted into a cartoon?
No. In fact, I have.
It wasn't.
It wasn't the first one. No, the first one was Doomsday. But
let's see. Okay, it was the first one that was done right. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah, it was. I think it was like the third one.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was the first one was done right. Because they did that. I just happen to have them all stacked here. Well, the ones that I have bought. But the Doomsday one, that was funny because I actually got that one for free. Warner Brothers got, you know, saw my blog and they sent me a free copy if I did a review, and I never got another free copy from them after that. That was just a little strange. But anyway, I wish they would take, instead of having two trades, they'd put it into one. They might do that because I know they did that with Hush finally.
It's not too long either. I mean, they could easily put this. I'm looking at my two copies next to, you know, plenty of other trades that are thicker.
Yeah, I think this was one of the first times I'd seen them do that, break it up, and that's like they do that with everything, like Brightest Day. You know, they've got it in what, three volumes, I think, maybe four. And I just don't like it when they do that.
They did it money with, grab.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. But I've had my dad read this. He liked it. It was just such a surprise, you know. And it's just a great book. And in looking at it in the absolute edition, that oversized, it just blows your mind.
I bet.
It just does. So
does the absolute edition contain the not the sequel, but he did like a little follow up?
No, that they did that when the movie came out.
Okay.
Yeah, they did that for when the movie came out. I don't think it does. Here, one second. Let me grab it. I think my cord will go that far. If you hear a loud crash, it didn't make it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Yeah, okay, I made it. I have to have a long cable. But, yeah, it's so huge. But, no, that was done after.
Oh, bummer.
But it does have a great afterword, and in the back it shows some old stuff that was inspired by it, some posters and stuff. And it's got pictures of the action figures, and there's all kinds of sketches and stuff. It was the very first one I'd ever got. And there's a bunch of promo art in here. But, yeah, Darwin Cook is just awesome. It really is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at mine right now. Dead airism.
Yeah. It's but that very last page with the Justice League coming together, and it's great stuff. It really is. It's a different take on the heroes, and it's like I said. And one of the things that they talked about in the intro was they all these different genres. They all stayed away from each other. But with this, it brings them all together into one, you know. And it's just beautifully written and drawn. And one thing I regret I haven't gotten is any Darwin Cook's the Hunter and the Outfit, those adaptions of those. I forget the guy's name. Those crime novels, I guess.
Oh,
what was that?
Shoot, it's on the tip of my tongue. Darwin Cook, the.
You guys are better
read
than
I should know that.
Well, I only remember it because the first novel that he did the adaption of was actually they made a movie of.
Hmm.
I don't know if you there's a movie called
Richard Stark.
Yes, by that's
it. That's great. Yep.
The book The Hunter was made into a movie with Mel Gibson called Payback. It's an adaptation.
Thank you. I just watched that.
That book, that movie's awesome. It really is.
Yes, it is.
And the blonde Maria Bello has got a new series on. Debbie and I just love.
Prime Suspect.
Yeah, love that show. It's one of the best shows on television, I think. But anyway, yeah, this and The Crisis are the only absolutes I got. And this, I just love this book.
Do we have a second? I just want to run through my alternates.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. First one's for this first one's for Murray and for Scott. Is Doom Patrol Crawling from the Wreckage.
All righty.
Next one is Lobo, The Last Zarnian. Love that stuff.
I hate that character.
Oh, you got to read this. This is pure humor. Pure goofy humor. And the last one is The Kents by John Ostrander with art by Tim Truman and John Mandrake.
I have got to read
Tom Mandrake.
Got to read that.
Sorry, I didn't want to leave those unsaid.
No, those are good ones.
Yeah, if you got alternates you want to mention, go ahead.
What was on my list? The alternate – well, I was going to pick for my Doom Patrol, it was going to be the Showcase Volume 1.
Oh, okay.
Their Silver Age appearances. Probably – I think there's two showcases. I think that covers their whole run. But either one of them is a good one. But the first one gives you the world building and the team coming together, and you get to meet all their crazy cat villains, and I would go with the first one for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
You guys hear a crackling?
A little bit.
It was me drinking.
No, it's static.
Okay. I don't hear it.
Okay. You want to mess with your mic again? Yeah, it's gone.
It's me. I got to get... Okay. Done deal. I'm going out tomorrow and buying a new mic.
Okay. Whatever. All right. See, my alternate would be the Batwoman Elegy Deluxe Edition.
Mm. Ooh, I would like to see that one.
Oh, it is. It's oversized the normal comic. And if you liked the Batwoman, the new 52, this is directly happens right before. And a lot of the stuff that might not have made sense, it's all drawn out. The art is beautiful. The story's great. It's written by Greg Rucka and the same artist, and it gives a real good gives the full origin story of the Kathy Kane character. Is that right, Kathy Kane?
Kate Kane, yeah.
You know how she got her start and the whole bit, and it's really good stuff.
God, it's funny how we all avoided mentioning Dark Knight. I didn't bring it up because it seemed too obvious.
What, the Dark Knight Returns?
Yeah.
You know, I thought the same thing. I actually picked it up and I said, no, you know. But yeah, you're right.
Or Crisis. I mean, none of us mentioned Crisis. Or none of us mentioned, what's it called? Judas Contract.
Or JLA Avengers.
JLA Avengers. That was almost in my stack. Yeah.
I did too. Because I've got Crisis in the original hardcover that they put out, with the one and it's got the bad pages.
The funky coloring. Yeah.
Yeah, at the bottom, and then I've got the trade of it, and I have the absolute of it.
It's just funny we didn't mention these things, but I mean, this is not to downplay them, but it almost seemed like they were almost the two obvious.
Choices. I mean, Crisis has been around so long, and I know a lot of people have read it, so I didn't want to pick that because, like you said, I thought it would be obvious choice.
And thanks to Murray, we only had one possible duplicate, and that was Murray went. Way off into left field.
Yeah, I thought we'd have more duplicates of that too.
See, some of those ones like Crisis and Watchmen and
yeah,
Biggies, I've got in singles. I've got them in floppies, but I don't have them in trades. So when I'm looking at my trade stuff, they don't pop out at me. But
well, if anybody looked on the Facebook page, you can see my photos of my trades. I've got a bunch.
Yes, you do.
So I've been.
Yeah, you've got quite the shelf porn going on there.
Yeah, I've been building it up for a long time. So, but yeah. So anything else you want to talk about tonight?
And it, just from one thing I want to note to some of the listeners, one of the other rules that I kind of put out there to before we started was if something was if there was a series that had broken up into multiple trades. You couldn't mention all the trades. We couldn't do that. So there were some series that we didn't talk about that only because I don't think we could, you know, other than like when you picked out that one Batman from that series of the Night's End stuff, mm-hmm. It was difficult, you know. It was difficult to say, okay, there just this one story arc stood out. So, mm-hmm. You know. Because there were some Justice League ones that I probably – there were parts of story arcs or Fables or Sandman or Losers or – you know, I could go on. But mm-hmm. Anyhow, so.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah.
I think this was a good episode. We'll see what everybody thinks. Kind of give an idea of some of the stuff that we really like, and we're planning on next week to do our top five Marvel books. Yes, we're going to talk about Marvel on this podcast.
Oh,
so if you're not sitting down, you might want to kind of get over the shock of it. But we do read Marvel stuff around here. So
And the week after we're gonna go, you know, indie. Isn't that right?
We're gonna do indie, which, you know, some consider maybe Dark Horse or Image is not necessarily indie anymore, but we're gonna throw those in there, I think. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Because I don't know if I've got five Dark Horse or five Image books that are my favorite.
Oh, I know I don't.
But I definitely have some of those, you know, I know an Image that I like. So, but yeah, we'll do indie after that. And anybody that wants to pop on Facebook, our Facebook group, or on the message board, which I need to get back on the thread that our only person posted on.
You're breaking up again. I'm sorry.
Am I breaking up?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. But anyway, let's see. And Twitter, you can follow us there or send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com. Or you can comment on the actual episode on the website when we post it tomorrow morning.
And if you're downloading from iTunes, put a review on there as well. Even just star this podcast.
The first person, as a matter of fact, the very first person that posts a review on there, it, negative or positive, they might get something special.
Woohoo!
So
that's where I'm going after we get off. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, they might get something special from the archives here at into the Fortress of Mositude, as I like to call it.
If you're on Facebook, you can see what that means.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Several things here. But anyway, that's it for this week. And I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I know I did.
All right.
Yeah.
That's us signing out. And I'm off tomorrow.
Bite me. Okay. Well, I'm going to go say goodnight to my girls. Guys, this was fun. I'm looking forward to the Marvel one as well.
I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
So... Anyway.
You're gonna be able to dial in next week, Murray?
I think so. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Ooh, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Alrighty. We'll see you all next week.
All right. See you
next guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.